just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite films. Here's your team of debauchery, Crazy Carl.
I see a bad movie rising.
Okay, that took me a second to realize what you were doing there.
Only because 30 seconds into this movie and I've already got my intro. I was like, sweet.
Nice.
And it took me 2 hours to get questions.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sexy Scully.
Taken, I mean Snatch, I mean, oh yeah, Stolen. That's right. Whatever. Everybody's taking something. Doesn't matter.
God, I hope you were taking something before trying to watch this film.
Yes.
I just want to put those three titles together. Taken, Snatch, Stolen.
No, switch that around. Taken, Stolen, Snatch. Anyway.
Yeah, see, I had to be really careful to not put Snatch at the end.
All right, and before we get too far into this, lovely Lisa.
Well, I thought I might agree with Allison. Vincent scares me. Then I thought again, nah.
Okay. And for those of you who weren't listening last week, we are buffing Stolen. Stolen in the buff. That sounds like something I would do. Anyways.
Take it, snatch, stolen in the buff.
Whatever. A former thief frantically searches for his missing daughter, who has been kidnapped and locked in the trunk of a taxi. Okay.
Known as generic Nicolas Cage movie number 6.
Yes, exactly. It's like Bangkok Air on the Rock with a National Treasure.
I think we have Gone in 60 Seconds in there somewhere,
oh,
too.
Yeah, there's more Gone in 60 Seconds than there is now.
True. Okay. So let's just go ahead and do a like and dislike real quick. Or no, I'm sorry. Give us a people also liked, Carl.
People who liked this also liked Six Bullets.
No, they didn't.
You know, people are bullshit crazy.
Nobody likes Van Damme.
The Last Stand, for the same reason. Fast and Furious 6, because it's probably going to be good. The Bourne Legacy? No idea.
They've had a lot of tries to go for it.
A Good Day to Die Hard, which was good. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, no, I haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't seen that one.
And Expendables 2.
Actually, I just have to point out, Expendables 2 was one really long 80s action movie joke. Even by the people who were in it, they were just making jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Fast and Furious 6 is catching a lot of crap, Carl.
Really?
Like, a lot of crap. Like, people are telling Vin Diesel it's like, it's done. It's over. Stop. So, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't pass.
I haven't seen that one, but I did like the Bourne movies.
Yeah, this is the newest one that neither of us have seen, the one that doesn't have Matt Damon in it.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty decent. I've seen it couple of times now. Yeah,
I love Jeremy Renner.
It's interesting in that, yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with how the previous storylines ran, but it does sort of do a intro to the back end of everything that was going on. So,
really funny story about the Bourne movies before we get into this too far, but really funny story. I, like, refused to watch them for the longest time, right? Just did not want to. I just didn't want to take the time to do it. Finally, Carl set me down and forced me to watch them, and we watched all three of the original Bourne movies in one night. Now, between that moment and the time that Bourne Legacy came out, I had literally read all of the Bourne books, including this one.
Which,
so the book was awesome.
Yeah, which you shouldn't do if you're a fan of the movie, because the books have nothing to do with the movie.
No, they really don't. They really don't. But I really did enjoy the books, which is weird because I'm not usually into those kind. But moving on, like or dislike, Lisa, were you wet or frigid for Stolen?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with frigid.
Okay, and why?
It wasn't as good as I thought it might be, or as I'd hoped it'd be.
And that's some pretty low standards.
I was going to say, this is a Nicolas Cage movie that doesn't have Sean Connery in it.
Yeah.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting it to be closer to Con Air.
He hasn't done anything like that in since
Con Air.
That was it.
Yeah. I personally do not think that Nicolas Cage has done a decent movie since like 2002. But that's just me. Okay, Carl, hard or flaccid for Stolen?
I'll give it half staff. I mean, it's, you know, I like it as much as I like, you know, most Nicolas Cage movies, at least the second time I see him.
Okay, 2004, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was looking at his, I'm looking at his list going, wait, Matchstick Men was 2003.
Yeah, Matchstick Men, National Treasure, those were pretty good.
Ghost Rider.
Oh, God, no.
It was okay, but it wasn't as good as Con Air. Oh. Drink for the tangent, folks.
I never did see World Trade Center or Lord of War, but I heard those were good.
I don't know. Okay, Scully. Wet or frigid?
Just
I figured
frigid.
That much, but explain
not
it.
Even, nope, don't even need to. It's Nicolas Cage. I'm done.
You really do like have a mad about that. Like you really don't like him at all.
Not literally. Con Air was the last one. The only reason I liked Con Air was because of all the other actors.
So you didn't like Matchstick Man or National Treasure?
No, I liked Matchstick Man for everybody else. National Treasure did not like.
Really?
Because there really weren't any other good actors in it.
Wow.
Kick-Ass. Okay. There you go. Kick-Ass. That was 2000.
Kick-Ass was a fun movie, but it was a horrible movie. Like, there is no way you can consider that a good movie.
Oh, I'm not
And again, Nicolas Cage was not the primary character.
Yeah, not primary character. But, yeah, I mean, it's... There are so many... It's not that Nicolas Cage movies are bad. Mm-hmm. And it's not that Nicolas Cage is a bad actor. It's just that so many of his movies... seem so similar. It's like they all feel the same.
I just don't like how he speaks.
I agree with everything, with exception of the Nicolas Cage is a bad actor or that his movies are bad in part.
I don't necessarily think they're bad.
See, I do.
It's just that they're, you know, they are very much...
I think...
A lot of them are executed poorly. Like, this one was definitely executed poorly.
Yeah.
I think
there was so much they could have done.
Issue with Cage. I mean, in all absolute honesty, all joking aside, my issue with Nicolas Cage is, for every one good movie he makes about 7 to 10 really bad ones.
Yeah. And a lot of that, I think, and a lot of that, I don't think is him. I think a lot of that is studios or directors banking or putting more on him than he can pull off.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I also kind of think that
I think that was a lot of this one. Like, I mean,
this one was a recycled idea. This one's been done 100 times. And,
and
because of that, you can't make a miracle out of it. It's just not going
to
happen.
You cannot depend on the main actor to carry, a overly recycled plot. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, every time, I mean, you could polish a dung pile as much as you want, but in the end, it's still polished shit.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's do who would you do before we get too far into what we think about these movies.
Okay.
Carl, as if we didn't already know.
Actually, come back to me because I'm not entirely sure.
All right.
I'm torn between two. No, screw it. I'm going with Riley.
Who was the other one? Because I'm starting to think that you had a mat on for the little girl.
She's not that little.
She was like... 15. If that.
7 plus 8 is how much, Carl?
15.
Exactly.
She was not actually 15.
Truthfully, but she was playing
a 15-year-old, yeah.
But she did not seem 15 in this
movie. Okay, she was 16 in this movie, Carl.
Was she?
Yeah.
She always seemed older than that.
She's legal with parental consent in certain states.
There you go.
Not this one.
Yeah, not this one.
Actually, yes, this one.
Yeah, I was going to say in that one.
actually, no. The Arkansas state law.
Oh, wait.
Is,
no, I'm sorry.
States clearly 18.
No.
Period six, now.
Unless I was, under the age of 21.
Well, they've changed it recently where 18, period.
Like, okay, let's
okay,
not talk
on.
About being 18 periods. Drink.
Walked into that one.
Yes.
Ooh. Anyway, Okay, so let's move on into I was gonna say. Yeah, who would you do? Lisa, who would you do?
I can't remember his name.
If you say Hoyt, I'm done. Like, I quit.
No. He Thank just God. Needs to be hacked okay. up into little pieces. Okay,
beginning of the movie, Vincent.
That's a maybe, but no. I think I like the FBI agent.
Oh,
The younger one.
Fletcher?
Fletcher?
Yeah.
He seems such a...
Oh my God, I would do him in a heartbeat. Holy crap. Oh my God. Have you not seen him in Human Target?
Yeah, Rod, I think
I would lick him upside down.
Talking about doing, about like, you know, duct taping his mouth so that, you know, they wouldn't have to listen to him talk.
Yeah,
he you don't duct tape. You just need a ball gag.
Wow. No, he doesn't need, he can talk all he wants. I really don't care.
Don't really, like, I don't really, didn't recognize this guy at all, but he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yes, he has.
Fringe.
I did recognize him. Not enough to believe him
legal.
On board.
Yep.
Oh, he was the voice of the Cyclops.
Oh,
that's right.
Yep. He is in a lot of stuff. Every time I see him, I still think he's absolutely gorgeous. Of course, at this point, he's probably sure. older than I would be okay with doing.
Oh, okay.
In 1964. So he's 2 years younger than my mom.
Thanks for putting it in perspective, Carl.
Yeah, why did you have to put it in perspective?
Thanks.
That's a movie we need to buff. We need to buff the Siege.
In all seriousness, I just have to point out the fact that... what was the last one? Jason Isaacs that Scully would have done, and he's not much younger, trust me.
I don't think he... I think he's actually older.
He might be. And let's face it, that's not going to stop you, Scully.
No, but we need to stop picking movies where all of the actors are over the age of 35 and 40.
Hey,
yeah, well, Scroll in that case, they'd all be under the age of 18.
Yeah, right? We're the 20-somethings, the attractive 20-somethings.
Right.
Right.
So just for the record, I said we needed to buff the Siege. The closest I could get to the Siege in Netflix is In the Name of the King.
No.
Although I have to admit, that would be one that would be kind of fun to buff. Like, we could make that really funny.
Yeah.
But no. So, round two. Oh, me. Oh. As if you had to ask. We all know where I was going with this.
Oh, yeah, he's going for Riley.
Riley. Definitely Riley. Especially that scene where she pops up in the bar and turns around and looks at the guy and says something about eye massaging or something.
Yeah.
I was like, yep, I'm in love.
Well, come on, Rod. We got to be honest. You were actually thinking about a three-way between Riley and LaFleur.
And who?
LaFleur.
Who's LaFleur?
The dispatcher.
You know, he's kind of sexy. I'm not going to... What the fuck is wrong with you? Anyways. Oh, wow. Although I do love the Cajun voice. I'm not going to lie. That Creole. Love it.
Yeah, that was a cool voice.
I won't lie, you know, the killer in the first season of True Blood, I was a little attracted. Not gonna lie.
Oh, yes. I was like, what are you talking about? Sorry, I got completely distracted because apparently the guy who plays Bill, not that I can remember his name now, is in the live Sound of Music that's gonna be airing next Thursday. And
really?
Holy crap, he can sing.
Okay, let me point out how this would have been better, this movie. There are two items of trivia on this movie, the first one being both Clive Owen and Jason Statham were previously attached for the lead role. Because, actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Jason Statham, this movie would not have been any different.
No.
No.
This was a Jason
Clive
Statham
Owen,
movie starring
wouldn't have
Clive.
Been much different. Like, all three of those are, you know, you can interchange those three to a great extent.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I like Jason Statham as an actor better than Nicolas Cage.
How?
His voice.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get you. That's not as an actor, but I get you. Okay, so moving on into Roundtable. How does this movie start? It starts with them doing the heist.
The bank job.
Yeah, the bank job. It's weird because I've been watching Leverage since it's on Netflix. And
he's finally catching up, folks.
What are you talking about?
with leverage.
Yeah.
Well, I watched like what, 3 seasons back in the day, and then stopped watching it. And now I'm like catching up. MC Gainey in this movie nicknames himself Diamond Dog, which was the character played by Bing Rhames and Con Air, both films directed by Simon West. So, does it bother anyone else that this is the guy who directed Con Air and Now Look at It?
Yeah, they kind of really needed. They really needed money.
Oh, this is also the guy that directed Expendables 2.
Yeah, this was the point where they needed some cash.
Yeah. Well, if they needed cash that badly, why didn't they do the second bank job?
If they needed cash that badly, why didn't they just wore out Nicolas Cage? Because to be honest with you, I think that would be a better performance.
Oh.
Oh, that just happened.
Smaller market.
Oh.
Well, definitely a different demographic. I mean, geriatrics is a hard gig to pull.
Oh. I'm having a sting from that one.
Speaking of pulling.
Oh. Oh.
Yes.
Can we pull this back on track, please? Yes. And into the round table.
Well, I would love to, but I'm going to need some, you know. Oh, the show. Got it. So, yes, they do the bank job. Dumbass, you know. Okay, I didn't quite catch what happened. Apparently there was something to do with a guard or a homeless man. I don't know.
The janitor at the end?
I missed
that's
that.
Like after they do the whole bank heist.
Well, that's true.
Which was, you know, a pretty awesome bank heist.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was okay. It was kind of cool as far as, like, the seeing through the vault thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I was thinking of the, actual execution of it, but the FBI camped outside the building that they were entering through and still, and thinking they were going next door.
Yeah, ballsy, I'll give them that. But, it was a little different. But, and I liked where the camera was going through the vault. They get the vault open. About that time, the FBI starts realizing, oh, shit, we're in the wrong room.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong building.
Yep.
And, yeah, so then they, something goes on with the janitor as they're trying to escape.
Yeah, they come out, the janitor's out there tossing trash and sees them. And, Vincent wants to shoot him.
Yeah, dipshit tries to kill him, ends up shooting himself in the leg and blaming it on other dipshit.
Dipshit 1, dipshit 2.
Yeah. Tweedledee.
Dipshit 2, with the shot in the leg, jumps in the van, and the van takes off without dipshit 1. Dipshit 1 gets in a car chase with a cop car and cash.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious as to what was going through his head at this point.
This was not a car chase with the cash. This was outtakes from Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, but I still want to know, like, when you jump in a cop car and get into a car chase scene, instead of just, I don't know, running down the alley and hiding?
Dump the cop car. Like, get to, like, outside of a couple of blocks and then dump the damn car.
Yeah.
or at very least, turn off the fucking lights, man.
Right?
You can see this for miles as they show you from the helicopter.
Master criminal my ass.
this was terrible. This was like...
Inevitably, it's so bad, he gets caught, which is great. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting caught. And who here called what happened to the cash?
I wasn't sure. I said he either dumped it or he either hit it or he burned it. And I wasn't sure which.
Nope, I saw the giant burning trash can and went, yep, he's going to burn it, done.
Near
the end of the movie.
I figured he was either going to hide it and claim it got burned, or he was going to burn it.
Nope, I knew he was going to burn it, and I also knew they were going to go back for the gold, because Dipshit 2 wouldn't shut up about the stupid gold.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great, so we're going to be back to take care of that. Great job.
Yeah. My biggest issue is, okay, multiple bank robberies. FBI's been trailing him for God knows how long. I think they said it at some point, but I don't remember. Yeah. And they
finally get in.
And he does 8 years.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't any evidence. The only thing he'd really done was steal a cop car.
And assault a police officer.
That's true. Assault an FBI agent.
No, he only assaulted two.
Oh, no, that wasn't until later that he assaulted the FBI agent. Anyway. And I know I'm going to skip ahead here, but that brings me to, like, the end of the movie where they're like, oh, if he throws it, we have nothing. Really? You literally have visual evidence. Take a picture of him with the evidence, throwing it, getting rid of evidence. You have him assaulting an FBI officer. You have, like, 15 years in prison.
They also give it at the end of the movie, too, because one of the FBI agents now really likes the guy and doesn't want to book him for anything. Well, and the other FBI agent still wants to book him. So that's why.
Well, and part of that not wanting to book him anymore is guilt. And we'll get into that here in just a minute.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff, too. But
Yeah, they catch him. He never makes it home to play games with his daughter.
To
color with his daughter, sorry.
And to make,
8 years later, he's getting out of
jail. And to make those pancakes she loves.
Yep.
8 years later, he's getting out of jail. And, you know, apparently he decided not to take the plane this time. Didn't work out well for him last time.
Yeah.
And he didn't buy the bunny this time. He bought a bear instead.
Are we sure? I couldn't tell. Like, it looked like a bunny in the face, but it didn't have ears.
No, definitely a bear.
I think it was supposed to have been a Care Bear.
No, well, it was just a knockoff colored bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look at the bright side. He didn't buy it in jail.
Yeah.
Well, seriously, one of these days he's going to figure it out and just get her 2 packs of Pall Malls and some soap and a canteen.
All right. He gets picked up by the FBI officer from, actually, the airport.
Bus station.
Love that, too. And yeah,
it was
a bus
station. Was it a bus station?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because he ain't taking another plane.
Yeah.
Blame him?
Yeah, and they tell him that one of his old crew is dead.
Mm-hmm. Dipshit 2.
Dipshit
2
is dead.
Dipshit
2
died.
And who's sitting there looking at this going, yeah, right?
Me.
At that point.
At this point, I didn't care. I didn't think he mattered.
Well, technically, no, I didn't think anything about it. But that was because I was getting them confused. I was getting Vincent confused with the other old guy.
Oh, yeah, Hoyt.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, at this point, I knew what... I pretty much had the rest of the movie mapped out by this point. Like, I knew everything that was going to happen from this point on.
Well, I hadn't looked at the synopsis of this movie, so I knew that he was a former crook.
I actually didn't either.
Getting pulled into something, but I didn't know exactly what was going on, so...
Yeah, I actually didn't either. I literally knew nothing about it going into this movie, except for the fact that it existed, which I think gave me a leg up on the rest of y'all.
Yeah, and I did know. I did notice immediately that the taxi cab was following him.
Yeah.
Well, you read the synopsis. You read the synopsis last week, and I was looking for taxi cabs this entire.
I don't even remember. I didn't even remember that. So, I just happened to see the cab, and I'm like, I think somebody might be following him.
Yeah.
A little obvious. I mean, the camera follows the cab.
Well, the camera shoots from across the top roof of the cab. And then you see it again outside of her house. I'm like, yep, somebody's following him.
To quote somebody, that was the worst tale in the history of tales. I don't even remember which TV or movie I saw that in.
Okay, so let's move on from there, though. He goes and he sees his daughter. Yeah, he goes and sees his daughter and takes her the teddy bear thing. And, of course, she's pissed at him.
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't be?
Because she's got daddy issues.
Yeah, abandonment issues.
He has abandonment issues, yeah.
It was later called daddy issues.
That too.
Whatever.
I love how, as mad as she is at him, the very first thing she says is, oh, this came for you today. It was just left on the stoop.
Uh-huh. Which is weird.
Yeah, and kind of why that's one of the things that, made me think she was older than she was supposed to be. Because she always, that's something that you don't see from that age. It seems older.
Yeah, the other thing was her responsibility of knowing, I have to go, I'm going to be late for my her shrink appointment.
Right.
And I'm not a 15 or 16-year-old on the face of this planet that's worried about being late for a shrink appointment.
There's not a 15 or 16-year-old that's worried about being late for just about anything.
Yeah,
I have heard them say, when they're trying to get out of something that they don't want to be at.
I'm late for something else. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to point out the fact.
Excuse.
I want to point out the fact that Josh Lucas was actually in Wing Commander 3.
Yes.
He played Flash.
And can I also point out that she is left home alone while her mom and stepdad are out of town?
Yeah.
Mom's boyfriend. No, it's her stepdad. Because we say that later.
Yeah.
They later make mention of the fact that he is her stepdad.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Now, who here would leave a 15-year-old girl alone?
In New Orleans on Mardi Gras.
No one who saw me as a 15-year-old.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was left home alone quite frequently, but I was never really left alone for more than a night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was left home alone, too. Well, technically, I was alone. I had my two sisters.
No, I was alone.
They were running into the next town 20 minutes away and then back.
Joshua Lucas is from Little Rock.
Huh.
I was the designated
babysitter. That doesn't surprise me. I've been to Little Rock. I'm pretty sure this was typecast.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, careful. That's a good way to get shot.
Again, typecasting.
Anyway,
so she gets into the cab that is conveniently right there.
Conveniently right there because he's been following her. Or he's been following him.
That's really it. He gets into the cab. She has absolutely zero clue, which is way more like a 16-year-old than this whole movie has ever depicted her being.
Yeah. And he goes to see Riley. And while they're talking, his package wakes up and starts ringing. And we find out that, you know, Vincent's alive and that he's got the girl.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long name.
What?
Joshua Lucas Easy Dentmar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'd go with Josh Lucas, too.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm reading through actor's biographies here. Seriously, this movie bored me that much. Like, I have lost my ability to care about this film.
At this point, I'm sort of off and on to whether or not I'm paying attention, because I'm kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, I just did not pay much attention to this film at all. And I'm trying to think of... He kidnaps the girl. How does he end up what was in the package again?
The package was the BlackBerry.
That's right, it was a phone, and that's how he contacts him.
This movie was paid for by BlackBerry because there are three phones you see in this movie. Well, no, take it back. There are four phones you see in this movie. Two of them are BlackBerrys, and they're the only two that get regular usage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see Vincent's iPhone.
Yep.
But that's the only other one that gets regular usage that is the BlackBerry.
Oh, sorry.
And you only see it when he's, you know, got it up to his ear and just holding it.
Well, it doesn't help that at some point, you know, Vincent tells him, I want my $10 million, whatever. And he's like, okay, well, I have to get it from my lawyer. And he proceeds to go get a burn phone, forward the calls to that phone, drop it on a train.
Yeah, and then toss the BlackBerry on the train.
Yep, and then run off and do something else. So at that point, it's like, I don't remember what phone you've got, and how are you supposed to change your calls to get forwarded back to the phone you've got right now?
Yeah, he did that. He forwarded the calls from the BlackBerry to that one.
Yeah, and then he had
to... BlackBerry onto the train.
Yeah, and then he had to get the calls from that phone back onto the one that he had in order to receive the phone call when he got arrested later on.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because the phone that he bought is the same BlackBerry, isn't it?
Yep.
When he gets caught, the phone switches. It's a goof.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I was very, like, I'm confused. I don't remember, because I wasn't really paying attention. So I was like, wait, what did he, huh? What? How did he get that phone back?
I wonder if that's listed in the goofs. I didn't look.
I don't know.
Well, let's not forget about the fact that, you know, the whole time he, instead of prepping his trunk prior to kidnapping the girl, he drugs her and then preps his trunk while she's sleeping.
Which is really dumb because that insulation foam takes like 3 hours at least to dry.
Yeah, it takes a lot longer than what they showed.
Yeah.
Although the insulation foam is a good idea.
Oh, yeah, and it's among the fastest of the foam that he sprayed is among the fastest drying that you could have gotten, but still.
But it's still, yeah. Hey,
anybody else go, aw, it's so cute. He's giving her glow-in-the-dark stars because she's afraid of the dark. Really?
Yeah, I was kind of weird about the stars. I was trying to figure out what the deal was with those.
He was psychotic. What do you think?
For the record, that phone goof is not in the goofs.
Not in there. Even though it's a big, obvious flaw. Like, because when you're only paying half attention, you see him prepping. There's a whole scene with him and the Aussie in the backseat.
Yeah.
And her trying to poke a hole through
the
taxi cab seat, the leather seat.
Vinyl.
Which, by the way, did anybody else think of Frighteners?
Think of what?
Frighteners.
No.
I haven't seen the movie, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I didn't think of
that.
I was thinking of every other movie where somebody is locked in a trunk and they have to dig through the back seat.
Yep. So that was one thing I'm trying to remember, because honestly, I do not know what the hell Nicolas Cage's dipshit one was doing this entire time. Oh. Couldn't tell you.
Oh, he went to the FBI to tell them that his daughter was kidnapped, and they didn't believe him.
And then what?
They thought he was jerking him around, and that's what leads to the, you know, that's a large part of what leads to the change in the FBI agent at the end of this movie.
So far I've found two people in the cast that were in Olympus Has Fallen.
Nice.
So we have some turnover from last week's episode.
Hey, we're about to meet dude what was in Iron Man. Because
which taxi cab driver?
Huh?
The taxi cab driver or
the motorcycle cop was in Iron Man.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. So one of the things that she does before she starts trying to dig herself out is she disconnects one of the brake lights or pulls one of the brake lights out of the housing so that he'll get...
And why she didn't just stick her mouth over that and yell?
Because she couldn't break the plastic.
The plastic on it.
Yeah.
She was holding... Okay, at one point she was actually holding the bulb itself, right?
Yeah, the bulb just twists and pulls out.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is you've got a thin piece of plastic... from that hole that does not have insulation over it.
She was yelling, Vincent was doing a very good job of talking over her all the time.
Yeah.
He was making sure, like with the Aussie in the backseat, he went off. Like either the Aussie was on the phone or the Aussie got off the phone because Vincent's a complete dumbass and can't like let him just talk on the phone like a normal person. Goes on a complete loud rant to talk over her yelling and then kicks the Aussie out of the car because he just can't keep it up.
Yeah, every time there's anyone near the cab, he's talking.
Yeah. Or yelling or doing something.
And the one time that he gets quiet, the cop hears something and asks him to open the trunk.
Yep.
And it's quiet and it's muffled enough then that even he's not sure he heard anything.
And it's okay because the cop still dies anyway.
Yeah.
I love the little boy, though. Oh, my God, the little boy.
Yeah, the little boy flipping him off with the ice.
Holy crap, it was great.
I guess I missed that part, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was cute.
She escapes.
So he shoots the cop, and she escapes out of the trunk because, he turned the key, and he had popped the trunk, and then turns around and shoots the cop. And while he's shooting the cop, she gets out of the trunk and takes off. And so he chases her down and catches up with her at that stupid fence blocking off the alley.
And she can't climb a damn chain link fence.
Well, it's a chain link fence with barbed wire on top, but yeah. And but he drugs her, throws her in the back of the trunk, and then looks up and on the other side of the fence at the mouth of the alley, there's this little black kid sitting there eating an ice cream cone, looking straight at him, and he says something to the kid, and the kid...
What are you looking at?
Yeah, he goes, what are you looking at? Gets back in the car, and the kid flips him the bird with the hand holding the ice cream.
Nice. I didn't even catch that at all.
Yeah.
The kid is adorable.
Through, searching through IMDb, I just found a movie that I wish they weren't making. Grudge Match. De Niro versus Stallone.
You really need to stop getting distracted.
I really do. I'm sorry.
You really didn't like this movie. Like,
I really didn't at all.
Zero and interest.
This was me, while I was trying to watch the movie. It's like, oh, what's going on over here? What's
didn't
going?
You
and
pick
I,
this?
Huh?
Didn't you pick this?
No, this was a Lisa pick.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, okay, so he kills the cop, takes her. The one part that I actually kind of liked in this movie, Cage gets arrested by the FBI agents and his whole escape. Because how do you get out of handcuffs?
He dislocated his thumb.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the only two ways to do it.
Yeah.
And the other one's really hard.
Anyway. Yeah, and then he proceeded to use his. Then he proceeded to use his hand as normal, and yeah, it didn't swell up, and it didn't bruise, and it didn't like. I'm like, dude, really?
And the bad part is, I mean, he dislocated his thumb at the bottom joint.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that hand is useless for the rest of the week at least.
Yep.
And even then, it's going to take forever to get back to normal use.
And I love how the phone is still ringing even after a very long car crash scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we do? Pause, really long car crash. All right, now we're going to start ringing again. Like, I was already eternally confused by the fact that the phone suddenly changed back. Now it just rings forever, and it doesn't count as 8 rings. Don't get it.
Could be worse. Oh, no, it couldn't. No, it couldn't.
I can't think of a way. I really can't.
Yeah, I know. Like, this was the worst. As far as the have to hurry up and do something in an action movie scene, I'm like, really? 8 rings?
Yeah. What's this?
Oh, they're complaining about the crash
the phone
scene.
Call? Yeah.
Yeah. Although it's like 8 rings, so cool. You decide to crash the car.
Yeah. The crash scene was pretty cool.
The scene itself, the way that the crash looked was cool, but... Yeah.
They did a really good, solid stunt job with that. That was really well done. The storyline on either sides of it really sucked. But yeah, so he ends up agreeing to do whatever is necessary in order to get $10 million so he can get his daughter back.
Yeah. Oh, and we also find out that, you know, Vincent has not been fooled by this whole forward the phone calls and throw the thing on a train and throw the phone on a train because he knows.
Well, yeah, because magically, somehow, he managed to forward his calls back over to another BlackBerry device.
No,
it was because...
It's because he goes to go see Hoyt, and Hoyt has a plan, and then Hoyt gets killed by the FBI.
Yep.
After getting that shit beat out of him by Cage.
Yeah. Well, I think they were pretty much beating the shit... I think they were pretty much kicking
the
shit out of each
other. I think that was a little give and take there.
Yeah. But did anybody else during this scene really want to see a payback scene, like... You know what I'm talking about?
Where Cage just really fucks his
shit up. Yeah, just fucks his whole world up and then shoots him for no... Like, got everything that he wanted and then just kills him.
Yeah.
Just to be a cold bastard.
Actually, I was thinking conspiracy theory where they tape his eyelids open.
But,
Yeah, I just wanted to see that whole... And maybe it's just because I'm completely in love with that scene from Payback. But, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Instead, they try to make Cage out to be the good guy in all of this. And I think that was a lot of my problem with this movie, though. Cage, his character for the, you know, thief was just too much of a good guy.
Oh, none of these crooks are very crook.
No, they're really not.
With the exception of Vincent, who's just psychotic.
Yeah, he's just completely sociopathic at this point.
But yeah, none of
He was that way at the beginning of the movie.
He
saw our faces, so he's going to kill him.
But even he is no more than a common, like, drug dealing kind of crook. He's not, like, a mastermind.
Yeah,
he's just
not,
like, dude, do you want to get high?
But,
kind of an idiot.
Yeah, but I mean, comparison. I'm trying to think of a good comparison. And the only thing I'm coming up with is Ocean's 11, which is not a good comparison.
No.
Oh, God, no.
See, and that's my problem with this movie. Like, not only are none of them... you know, crook-like in any shape, but they're so stereotypical. You've got the bad guy that's guaranteed bad. You've got the good guy that's guaranteed good. There's no crossover. There's no gray area in these characters.
Oh, here you go. How about, we'll even go with, I'll even go so far as to say that they were less crooked than, you know, Cage's character in Matchstick Men or Travolta's in Swordfish.
Oh, and how? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not crooks. They don't play. Their characters don't play like crooks.
No. I mean, the only thing that was the most crook about them was, so he does the final scene where he's like, I've been thinking about this for the entire years. Time he's in 8 years while I'm in jail.
Yeah.
And they go in and through the floor melt out
that.
Gold.
That was
an awesome scene.
That is literally the only criminal thing there. It was the only clever, criminal, well thought out theft plan. That was it.
I agree with that.
The only one.
I completely agree with that.
And I swear to God, he did not come up with that idea.
Not on his own.
No, I buy that, you know, considering the plan, you know, that they had, what you saw of the plan that they had, you know, for the first bank job.
Yes. Yeah, you totally believe that he's had way more time to think about this. He's totally in control on this one. Like,
exactly.
Second time, well, I'd say he's totally in control, but he's really not. He's just desperate at this point.
Yeah, but it is something that he's thought about, and you get that impression. But it's, the only problem I had with the gold heist scene was the little voice in my head going, this would not work.
Yeah.
But, suspension of disbelief covers that.
Yeah. Well, at this point, you've had phones walking and all kinds of fun stuff. So,
I'm surprisingly, during the gold heist scene, I'm sitting here thinking, what happened in the metal that was in the floor and the concrete that they burned through? Does that not mix with the gold at all?
No, because it's it's sitting at the bottom of the pool.
Yeah, and on top of that, gold has a lower melting point than concrete. So it'll stay liquid and the concrete will stay solid and you can just pick out the solid pieces.
Gotcha. Still, I thought that scene was kind of cool. But other than that, there was no redeeming. Well, that scene and Ackerman's side boob, that was pretty much the only redeeming factors of this movie.
I don't remember Ackerman having a side boob shot.
Yeah, she was in the bar.
Yeah, she's wearing just a bra and a really long, loose tank top so that you can really just see a whole lot of bra. And that bra moves around quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she was wearing several different bras during these scenes because time it was gray. She goes running out the back door of the bar and her bra is actually very visible, kind of a purple gray. And other times it's barely visible at all.
I think I saw blue in there somewhere too.
Hey,
yeah, right.
There's one point where she changes shoes while on the ferry.
Uh-huh.
And
that's in the goof.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
In the ferry terminal, she's wearing a pair of gray boots, and the very next thing she's wearing...
Oh, I believe you. I just am surprised that they can find that, but not the phone thing.
The phone thing?
But,
I think
okay,
it's because they weren't... They had more interest in it than I did, where I'm looking away and doing other stuff and then coming back and like, wait, where the hell did that come from?
So the FBI tries to catch him, and they have this whole thing where, you know, don't grab him until he's on Louisiana soil.
Yeah.
So he gets off the ferry.
Which bugged me, but it would
have
mattered
anyway. Because at this point I was accepting the fact that the FBI agent was trying to let him get away.
Yeah, but either way, it doesn't really matter because it wouldn't have helped.
Yeah, no, they had that plan rigged from the beginning. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I saw something similar to this. And, every, you know, car theft movie ever. So, anyway. And he gets away.
Yep. And then they meet up at the amusement park.
And
of which
I know there's a trunk
just made
fire.
Me want to play Left 4 Dead 2.
I really did.
want a couple of
I
Left
wanted to
Dead
go
2.
Watch some more Walking Dead.
I want to see zombies, dude. Now every time I see an old amusement park, I think zombies.
Yeah. Although I hate that level.
I know that level. I hate.
It's like one of my
I hate the clowns.
Yeah.
That's the worst one because you hear this really loud shrill honking noise and you're like.
Wow. Okay, so everybody drink.
So yeah, he throws the gold at Vincent. Vincent's a complete asshole. Tries burning the kid alive in the taxi.
I need to digress for a second because I have just found Scully's new comparison for like or dislike. Would it be better or worse if you added zombies?
Yes. This movie
would have made it better.
Oh, much better. We could have had a whole voodoo aspect to it because it's New Orleans on Fat Tuesday, the whole thing. We could do some really cool stuff if it had zombies.
That could have been an awesome movie, actually. I'd agree with that.
Right? This could have been cool. Really cool. Zombies running through Fat Tuesday, infecting everybody.
You just want a completely different movie, don't you?
Yes. I just want a completely different movie.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's hurry up and get this one done then. You know, he tries to burn her alive, so her dad, in his infinite wisdom, decides to drown her instead of letting her burn alive.
Yes, let's just...
Although, in fairness, I've been sitting here trying to come up with a better solution to that problem.
Yeah, kind of.
And I'm not. It's not coming to me. So I'll grant him that. I mean, that was awful close to the gas tank. That probably would have been my reaction, too.
I would have leaned on, I don't know, overstrengthen the cripple. Considering that fight. He fights with Vincent, who's missing fingers.
He gets shot
and a leg.
Before he starts the fight, or as he's charging him, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We'll see how well you fight the one-armed, eight-fingered man when you've got a hole in your stomach.
And did anybody else feel like this suddenly...
I forgot that he got shot entirely.
Did anybody else feel like this turned into a horror movie during this fight? It's like, he just won't die!
Yeah.
Kind of did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, Vincent took on a completely different, more grotesque appearance. I love how his clothes burned off and revealed this beautifully buff body underneath.
Yeah, and he's, you know, and the whole side of his head's burned.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful body. What the hell's wrong with your face, dude?
I will have to agree with Rod on this.
No, Joshua Charles went to Eckhart School of Acting.
When...
You're going to get that in a minute.
I will agree with Rod on this. When the car, when he first gets in the car to drive it into the lake, I thought, yeah, drowning, that's an option. Wait a minute. There's not a better one.
Yeah, that's where I was at. I was like, that seems like a really dumb idea. And then I was sitting there, I can't come up with anything better.
So. I'm still shocked as to why on earth did she not pull a bigger hole in the seat than she did.
Yeah.
I was like, you already got your fingers through it at this point? You're doing good.
I mean, there's padding and wires in there. I could see that being all that she could get through. I'll grant that.
All right. I'm not going to think too hard about it because, honestly, if I still try to think about that phone. Yeah, if I spent time thinking and trying to figure something out, I would spend it trying to figure out the phone thing.
I need to go back and watch because I think that may not actually be a goof, but I'm not sure.
I swear they had to have explained it somewhere. I just missed it because I really do feel like
that's actually a phone switch because I don't remember what the phone that he grabs looks like. I don't remember if you ever get a good look at it.
You do. You get to see the box, and I didn't write down what it was. But
finally, you have him beating the hell out of him dumbass two with a crowbar.
Oh yeah, and stabbing him in the chest with it.
Stabbing him in the chest with it, and then saving the little
and then
girl.
Knocking him in his trunk and letting the.
Which point I was thinking, no, you have to go over the head. They don't die until you get them in the head.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
It's like, you need to crush the brain. Yeah.
But you lock them in a trunk and send them to the bottom of the river, you're doing okay, too.
No, because they're still alive.
If you put it this way.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah. He stabs him in the stomach with a crowbar. Then locks him in his own trunk as it's going to the bottom. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is going to kill him first?
Yeah.
Probably bleeding out, and I'm wondering where the hell the gators are.
But I'm just curious. I'm just curious. Is Vincent's last name Voorhees by any chance? Just,
Oh, but there's a... So, he ends up sinking him, and there's this whole scene where... She's talking on the side of the river to her dad, who's now bleeding out profusely, and he gets into the medic chopper, and at this point you really know that the other FBI agent's totally rooting for dipshit one.
Yeah, because, again, guilt, because he basically called him a liar and threw his ass out.
Yep. And then they cut just as soon as he does this whole, like, breathe out thing, at which point I was like, oh, sweet, at least they ended. Oh, shit.
There's
more. Oh, how'd you love the play-up of is he dead, is he alive that they tried to do with them driving through the cemetery?
Yeah, that was bad.
The girl and Allison driving through driving next to a cemetery. And I'm like, I'm like, there's – because he does the thing. I'm like, there's no way he just died. He passed out. And they're driving through the cemetery. I'm like, yeah, but they're going to play up the suspense for all it's worth, aren't they?
Yep. But then
they
have,
think we're dumb.
Okay, now here's one thing I did not understand. At the end, was he hooked up with Riley?
I think so.
Like, were they living together now? I couldn't
tell. I thought I could tell if they were living together, but I believe that he was hooked up with Riley.
Because, of course, Nicolas Cage has hooked up with a hot blonde
at some
point.
Well, I think Riley went...
Well, it's the hero thing.
Yeah, and I think Riley was going... had gone to pick up Allison for, you know...
From her mother's.
Yeah, from her mother's. For, you know, like, that weekend. And was bringing her out. And while he was getting dinner ready... Or while he was getting ready to grill dinner, so...
Maybe. Anyway,
yeah, he finds a brick of melted gold in the back of her truck, and they end up having an entire argument as to whether or not he should keep it and sell it and be able to do repairs on the house or get rid of it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the FBI is watching him from a boat, and he knows that they're watching him from a boat.
Oh yeah, that was so I know you're there conversation.
And
just wave. They're right there.
and plays it up, and then chucks the pine cone. The giant pine cone instead of the brick of gold.
Was it not the gold that he threw out?
No, you don't see the very last.
No, I turned around. I turned away just at that.
Yeah, moment. I wasn't paying attention because I knew he was going to throw it, and I knew like.
And it pans down and shows the brick of gold sitting where the pine cone was, just below the level of the bench seat, so that they can't, so the cops can't see it.
Nice.
Meh.
So. That's probably the best part of the whole movie right there.
Yeah, it was, you saw it coming.
Kinda, yeah.
No, I mean, anyway. You really did. Like, I'm sitting there going, no, he just threw that pine cone, didn't he?
It's not the point. The point I mean is the movie being over. That was the best part.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so, movie's over. Yay!
Yay!
Thank God! Anyway. Okay, so, let's do Best Buffed. Lisa.
When you're following the cab down Mardi Gras, there's the three tap dancers.
Oh, the four tap dancers, but yeah.
Okay. I want to give them a most adorable street performance ever.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They were stinking cute.
They were good.
Yeah. And... Not to ruin
really
my questions, but the dispatch number on the cabs kept changing.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
All right.
Those are my awards.
The magically changing number and the adorable street performers?
Yes.
Okay. Scully?
The Unicorn Cab of Fantasyland award goes to Vincent's cab because it's fucking immaculate in the back seat, which never happens. There was not a piece of gum or anything. In fact, that was the first hole in the back seat of that taxi cab. It's like, holy crap. So, yeah, the imaginary taxi cab. My second award is the Whistle While We Work award goes to Nicholas for not shutting the fuck up while he's robbing the bank and grunting and complaining the entire time he's pulling a bag full of gold.
All right.
Those are my two.
And Carl?
I've got the Ocean's 11 award for interesting and kind of awesome heist plots.
Okay.
And the High Times Guy on the Couch award goes to Malin Ackerman for being previously buffed by us in a movie where she starred co-ed in on Guy's Couch.
Nice. Okay, so all of those awards were way better than the ones I gave this one.
Okay.
Oh, wait, should I give this the generic Nicolas Cage award number six, or movie number 64 award?
No, because I've got one for that, actually.
Oh, okay.
The Put the Bunny Back in the Box award for never playing a different character since Con Air.
He's played different characters.
No, he's just changed his accent. He's never played a different character.
That's arguable.
Oh my god, you know what we need to do? We need to watch all the Nicolas Cage movies and just pretend they're all the same person.
You can, actually.
Not all of them, but a lot of them you can.
Okay, I am also giving Nicolas Cage, because I realized this after watching this movie, that he always hooks up with some blonde. Always. In nearly every one of his movies, he hooks up with a blonde.
No. It's not always a blonde. He always hooks up with somebody, but it's not always a blonde.
Nearly every one of them. In Con Air, his wife was blonde. In National Treasure, the chick he hooks up with is blonde. In this one, even Angelina Jolie dyes her hair blonde to be in the movie with him.
I'm thinking Face Off.
Huh?
I'm thinking she was blonde.
Oh, no, she was brunette.
She was a brunette.
In which one?
In Face Off.
But then again, in Face Off, he did pretty much everybody.
Travolta's wife is blonde, is the only blonde in Face Off.
Wasn't the stewardess, though, at the very beginning?
Do what?
The stewardess at the very beginning. That's like hanging out in his lap.
I will grant you that one. That was a brunette. In nearly every one of his movies, he hooks up with a blonde. So I am giving Nicolas Cage Rod's blonde addiction.
All right.
And that's all of my awards for this one. Let's move on and do buff quotes. Carl, what was your quote?
Looky here. Did you just turn white on me all of a sudden?
Well, you know. Sorry. Okay, Lisa?
I was bored.
Sorry, that just sounds so much like you. All right, Scully?
Fat Tuesday. Everybody go crazy.
Yes, they do.
I love the fact that the cab dispatcher, who's in two scenes, got half the quotes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he's the only one who had any really good lines.
He kind of did.
I mean, everything else was just plot. Not really anything interesting.
And the line that I chose, mainly because of Josh Lucas's perfect delivery of it, was, "I was a golden boy, dollface. Now I'm a freaking Picasso." I love the way he delivered that. I could never do that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. That puts us into Where Are You Playing? So, Lisa, start us off.
She has to get back my cider first.
Do you want me to skip you?
No, I had handed her my apple cider and she was handing it back.
Ah.
Trying to remember what scene this was in.
Okay.
When Nicolas Cage robs the bank for his gold, a fire truck shows up. What number is on it?
43.
13. 47. Well, you each had, all except for Carl, the other two had one number correct.
There was a 3 in it.
It was 23.
23. I couldn't remember if it was 23, 43, 33. I just remember I saw something 3.
23.
Okay.
The first time you see the words radio dispatcher on the cab. What's the number next to it?
Hmm.
68.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Scully?
Not a clue.
I know it's always some area code and then 555 and then 4 numbers. So.
No, in this case it wasn't.
Oh, you're talking about the cab number.
No, I'm not. It said radio dispatcher 561.
Yeah, those are cab numbers that are separate from the medallion numbers.
Okay, the next time you see that exact same cab, the number is 869.
Fair enough. Okay,
but
Carl,
Rod, you had one number right.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. Okay,
you had a 6.
Let's see. When they're getting ready to perform the bank heist at the beginning of the movie, what class of felony does Vincent claim they're about to commit?
Class A.
H.
Lisa's got it. He actually says really? Class H felony.
I swear he said class H. What's a class H?
That there isn't a class H.
I was going to say, that doesn't exist. That's not a thing.
I believe it's A, B, or C, isn't it?
It goes all the way down to
C
E.
Or D or E, yeah.
Yeah, it goes all the way down to E, but yeah, and I heard it, and I saw it in the closed caption. It says H.
Okay, what's your other question?
Let's see. What's the name of the building that the FBI thinks that Cage is robbing at the beginning of the movie?
Oh, Paris Diamonds.
Don't remember.
Parrish Diamond Exchange.
Lisa's got it. It was the Parrish Diamond Exchange.
I said Parrish Diamonds. That was close.
Yeah, I know. If Lisa hadn't gotten closer, you'd have got. I'd have given it to you.
Okay.
All right, Lisa's got 2 points.
Scully?
How long does it take the taxi cab dispatch to reload?
I don't know, 15 minutes?
Wait. Reload?
Did we say that?
How long does it take the taxi cab dispatch guy, the guy we quoted, to quote-unquote reload?
Oh, 14 minutes and a tickle.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
That's right.
I remember that now. What's your next one?
Wow, Lisa's winning tonight.
What was the van? Like, what is the van that they steal for the very first heist?
Oh, it's...
it's the thing on the side. It's the thing on the side of the door.
I remember seeing it.
I know this isn't. I know it's not completely right, but it's a New Orleans electric,
gas and electric, or it was a utility van.
Yeah, it was utilities, but I don't remember the name of the utility.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't either.
I have no clue.
All right, it's the Crescent City Power Company van.
Crescent City Power Company. That's right.
Yep. I just remembered it was a utility van. Okay, that makes it my turn to ask questions. Obviously, I'm not winning.
It's okay. I don't have any either.
Yeah. Well, what is the phone number to the cab company?
Yeah, I never wrote it down.
All of it.
I didn't write that down.
No idea.
I'm actually staring at a picture of it right now.
I knew I should have wrote it down, but I didn't.
Yeah.
505-555-0107. Okay, the cop that gets shot because he doesn't check it, or he wants him to open the trunk, what was his name?
They said it.
No, he doesn't ever say it.
In the credits, he's listed as Motorcycle Cop.
He's got a name badge on.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll give it over to his...
I'll give it to you for first initial and last name, which is what's on his name badge.
I have no idea.
Not a clue.
Not a clue.
M. Robert.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so that makes Lisa the winner.
Yeah, by a landslide, because nobody got 4 points, and you had 3.
Lisa paid way more attention to this movie than I ever wanted to. Okay, Lisa, so ask your audience question.
In honor of Rod, which hand is missing his fingers?
Nice.
Not really sure what point you were making fun of me there, but okay.
Because you always bitch about left to right questions.
I know. Which is funny because I almost asked which leg was skimpy. I almost did, and I'm like, nah, I won't do it. Come on. Okay, see, Carl, go ahead.
Let's see. What is the medallion number of the Nicolas Cage carjacks?
That was mine.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I have another one then.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Sorry, mine was actually something else. Never mind.
Oh, okay. That was mine then.
Okay. Scully?
At the very beginning, there's a drunk guy wandering down the street singing a song. What is the name of the song and the artist?
Nice.
Oof.
And what's funny is you told us in pre-show that that was one of your questions, so I went and found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you didn't tell me didn't your audience it. Question.
Yep.
That's why she didn't use it. Okay, and as for mine, what is the medallion number of Vincent's car?
Oh, come on.
Right. Oh, like we've gotten any answers yet.
Yeah, good point. Alright guys, so moviesinthebuff.com, click on games, where are you playing, type in the fields, and send us an email. You don't even have to get the answers right, just send us answers.
Always, we do take requests through email too.
Oh yeah.
And we need that set up on the website.
If you actually want to request a movie from us, just use the same form.
Yep. And we cannot guarantee that we will do your movie, but we will do everything within our power to make it happen.
Yep.
And it's pretty likely that we'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Unless your movie blows.
Unless your movie really blows, like worse than my
And we know ahead of time that it really blows.
Yeah.
But
if you want us to watch Spanish zombie porn, you can go fuck yourself with a glass stick.
They make those. They're really pretty.
No, I'm in a broken glass one. But anyway.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the ones
okay.
they sell.
No, although, Scully, you and I need to have a conversation later.
Break!
I do have something
just
I want to discuss with you that's close
don't
to
just,
that.
This is how it goes. Just don't Google images of glass art with safe search off. It doesn't come up.
Damn, now I want to do that.
No, it's like within the first page. You're like, oh, this is really, oh my God, it's a dildo sign.
Nice, nice. We need to do it like a dildo show. Anyway, we're going on.
Drink for that really long tangent.
The hell?
So the only thing I could say to that is, looky here, did you turn white on?
Oh, wow. No. Sorry. I wasn't actually listening. Like I was listening on delay, but I was looking at the guy who wrote this movie.
Yeah, hasn't
I was
shit.
Looking at what else he wrote.
Shit, Safe House.
Yeah, well, he wrote Safe House and Exit Strategy.
Well, Carl, Scully just got through talking about a dildo site, and you say, "Oh wow."
Yeah, that was the best timing.
He couldn't find that any better if he tried.
So, Carl, what kind of dildos do you use? Anyway, moving on into mental debuff, and Lisa has won the right to go first. So, go for
Con
it.
Conair did it better.
Anything else that you would like to add?
No.
Fair enough. Scully?
Yeah, if you want to watch a really good, like, my daughter's being kidnapped movie, go watch Taken. 100 times better.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, Carl?
Yeah, I was going to say, there are half a dozen movies that did this better, and Con Air is not one of them, because that's a completely different...
We'll debate that later.
Well, it's a completely different plot, was my point. But yeah, this has been overdone, and, you know, Nicolas Cage, well, you know, maybe a decent actor if you give him, you know, if you give him really good roles and some support, but he can't carry your tired, wore out plot on his own.
Although he can carry a tired, worn out whore on his own. Just, you know, ask Angelina Jolie and, oh, never mind.
I'm pretty sure he can't carry those on his own either.
Mm-mm.
He almost did it and got in 60 seconds.
No, he had some help.
He did have some help. Robert
he had
Duvall.
A lot of help. He had help from guys that are doing really good TV now.
Yeah, well, a lot of really great actors are doing, really great film actors are doing TV now because it pays more.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just a longer gig.
Is that all you had?
Yeah, that's all I had.
All right. Well, you know what that makes it time for.
Mute your microphones.
Hold on just a second.
It's time to mute our mics and cover Ireland's ears.
Well, he was actually asleep, and he just woke up crying for some reason.
Because he just, knew he was missing Rod's rants. Nobody
yeah, just
Rod's rants.
That moment. Let me see if he... Oh, I see what happened. Just a second.
They'll say you should let him listen to Rod's rants.
Well, no, he was sound asleep. His hand fell asleep. Because he started grabbing his hand and saying, ow. Anyway, okay. So now it's time for Rod's rants. I'm sorry about that little postpone there. Stolen is a significant mashup of Con Air and National Treasure. And by significant, I mean shitty. And by mashup, I mean film splicing abomination. Let's take every good film Nick Cage ever made, and then once we have both of those, we'll take all the worst parts and turn that into one bowel movement of a film. If I had a time machine, I would jump in it, go back and convince them that instead of making this film, it's a much better idea just to take the money, pay the loan shark that keeps forcing Nick to make these god-awful films. I honestly think Ghost Rider, instead of being some terrible comic book adaptation, is actually an altered Nick Cage biography. The problem is that when he signed his soul over to Satan, he only asked for fame and forgot about talent. I have actually known companies that deal exclusively in shiza porn, and they've produced less shit in the last decade than this man. And the really strange part is, they keep making money, too. Anyway, I guess I need to say something about Stolen, because honestly, we've given this crap more conversation tonight than its production company ever did. So, in the immortal words of Peter Griffin, you suck! And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
Nice.
Okay, so, next week, we have a huge deal.
Yeah, our 100th episode.
100th episode, The Princess Bride in the Buff, thank God.
For the record, can I point out that not only is tomorrow Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy actually, Thanksgiving probably, to all of our American listeners.
Actually, probably today is Thanksgiving, because it's not going to be uploaded until almost midnight. Yeah. But, Friday, Black Friday, is the second anniversary of the day we thought of this show.
Yes, it is. And
we are doing our 100th episode next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
So that's like a lot of, that's some, and then right after that we have our second anniversary episode. So we've got a lot of milestones coming. Boom, boom, boom.
Which, Carl, may I remind you that you still haven't chosen an episode for our second anniversary episode?
Is it my pick for our second
anniversary? It is your pick.
Okay. I didn't know if it was the next week after our 100th, if it was our 101st show.
Do you want to hear something really strange? You picked our first episode.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. The Crow and the Puff.
I picked our first episode on Black Friday.
On Black Friday, yep. I remember that. Okay, so, but next week, our 100th episode special, I am going to spend probably the majority of my next, 4 days off for the holiday doing a Rod's Rants mashup and getting that ready. Beyond that, we just... What's that?
And we're good. And we're gonna have the mashup, Rod's Rants mashup, the Princess Bride episode. All of that's going to be coming out next week.
All next week, and we'll see what else we can get going for y'all. But definitely join us next week for the Princess Bride and the Buff, 100 episodes of being in the Buff.
And if anybody wants to send in anything like shout outs or anything, email us inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Also, as you'll hear in our footer, on Stitcher and iTunes. Now, last time I checked, our Stitcher wasn't working, right? Have we gotten
that? Our Stitcher's been working, right?
Okay. It's been a while since I've checked because I don't use Stitcher, unfortunately.
I listen to it every week. We're fine.
Yeah. Well, when we had that issue because Archive changed how they did upload our podcast wasn't coming out for a couple of weeks, that was what broke our Stitcher.
But may I remind everyone that we really need some reviews on iTunes, so get out there, get some reviews in. Beyond that, though, next week, 100th episode special.
Any reviews that come out between now and next Wednesday, we will read on our 100th episode.
Absolutely. We'll read reviews, we'll read emails, we'll share naughty pictures. We'll...
No, we can share naughty pictures. Nobody's going to see them.
Yeah.
Because we're an audio podcast.
Yep.
Exactly.
And it won't be December yet. So we won't be switching to the Google Plus or to the Google Hangouts.
And we got to figure that out. But we'll get into that later. Beyond that, though, see you next week for 100 episodes of In the Buff. And until then, keep watching those movies in the Buff. You know, it's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Night.
Good night.
Hey, Buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com, and like us on Facebook and Google Plus, or follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff. You can also follow your team at debauchery, me at Rod the Golden,
at Scully44,
at Kith Kanan,
and at Acorna Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at Stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
Attribution,
Non-Commercial,
No Derivatives,
3.0 U.S. license.